bless your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and that we may live in peace and quiet through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Sing to God. May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your light and love surround and fill us, so that with pure and renewed minds we may sing your praises. With the whole church on earth and all creation, we glorify you now and forever. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Into your hands, O merciful Savior, I commend your servant. I stood off from the grave a little way, lost in my thoughts, alone in the tranquil quiet of the cemetery. Most of the mourners had gone, only a few remained, and I had already spoken to them, so I stood looking. Looking at the flowers, at the tents, the chairs, the artificial grass, and at the casket still perched on stainless steel rollers above the gaping hole. It was my time, my own personal goodbye, my chance to say for me what I had said for everybody else only minutes before in the sanctuary. My chance to affirm in my heart the promises I had preached about. My chance to allow my heart to let go and to search again for peace to comfort my disquieted soul. Acknowledge, I humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. "Reverend," somebody said. And somewhere in my awareness, I heard the word, but I didn't respond to it. This was my time. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. "Reverend." "Amen. Amen." "Reverend." And I felt the hand on my shoulder. And I turned. And there was a gravedigger. That he was a gravedigger was immediately clear. He stood there in faded blue overalls and brown work boots, both of which had traces of red clay on them. And I could see where he had sweated in his white t-shirt. His graying hair and his manner suggested that he was about 60, but the shovel in his hand told me that his muscles were still young and strong. I was amazed that he had spoken to me. Usually, gravediggers stood off to themselves at funerals. The mourners who came usually did their best to ignore them, as if they carried some dread disease that one could catch if one got too close. The gravedigger stood beside me and followed my gaze, starched collar side by side with blue collar. and I heard the toe of his shovel dig into the grass a little as he leaned on it. "Reverend," he said again, now sure of my attention, "they seem so sad." "Yes, they do," I replied, not knowing what else to say and wondering why that should strike him as odd at a funeral. "They seem so sad," he said again, and he shook his head slowly from side to side. "And Reverend, they seem a little afraid, too." I said, "Death is a frightening thing. By coming to this funeral today, they've all been reminded that death will happen to them too. And they will miss their friend. So I think it's normal to be a little afraid and sad." That's what I said, but he hadn't waited for me. He seemed to go on without hearing me. "I'm not sad at funerals anymore, 'cause I believe. You know, Reverend, I had a daughter who died when she was 16 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. There she was, so sad and pitiful, laying in bed dying. And I went over to her and picked up her hand, and she looked at me with her big sweet eyes. And Reverend, you know what she said?" Before I could answer, he said, "She just smiled at me with such peace. And she said, 'Don't be afraid, Daddy. Don't be afraid. I see Jesus. I see Jesus.' Those were the last words she spoke to me, Reverend. And I ain't been afraid of dying or sad at a funeral ever since. I just look for Jesus. And usually I find him, too." We stood there in silence. I didn't say anything, for there didn't seem to be anything to say. After a while, he said, "Reverend, do you believe what you've been saying over that fella?" And I said, "I sure do. I have to keep going." Then he said, "That's good. That's good to know you ain't just mouthing words." Then he continued, "But Reverend, does it make any difference?" And I said, "Well, I hope so. I don't really think it makes any difference for the dead person, but that's not what funerals are for. Funerals are for the living. It's a chance for us to express our grief and to hear again about the promises Jesus has for us about eternal life. And I need that. I need that reminder about God's love. And so it makes a difference for me." "Well, yes, sir, Reverend," he said. But again, I had the impression that he hadn't really listened for my answers. Or maybe he just didn't understand. Or maybe he knew, like I knew, that his simple questions were of greater significance than my simple answers. Suddenly he said, "You know, Reverend, dead people don't die all at once." "What?" I said, for he had caught me by surprise. "That's right," he said, nodding his head. "Dead people don't die all at once. Some of them live on for a long time. I seen them come, and I seen them piddling around, fussing with this, fussing with that, pulling weeds here, mashing the grass down there. They talk to the ground, some of them. And some of them even ask questions and wait like they expect an answer." I realized that he was talking about the people who visit the graves of their loved ones. And so I said, "Well, life sometimes is incomplete. People sometimes have unanswered questions left over when people die, or they want to tend to people in death like they did in life. I guess that's one way they show they still love the person who died, and that's one way to keep them alive. And I think that's okay. You know, it's hard to be left behind. And you're right. Sometimes it does take a person a long time to die. By now, the old man had piqued my interest, and so before he could say anything, I asked him a question. "What's it like to be a gravedigger?" I said. "Well, Reverend," he said, "what I'm about to say to you is going to sound strange, but it's true. Down there at the bottom of them holes, the world looks a whole lot different down there than it does up here. And Reverend, sometimes down there, you can see better." I didn't doubt him at all. I thought the world must look a lot different from the bottom of a grave than it does on top. The choices must be clearer. Life must fall into better focus down there. And down there, Jesus must seem a whole lot more important. The gravedigger gestured to the casket, which the other workers were starting to lower. "You know, Reverend," he said, "I seen them come and I seen them go, all different types. They got different boxes. They got different services. But I dig the hole the same way every time." And with that, he gave me a big smile and said, "Be seeing you, Reverend." And he hitched up his shovel and headed over to the grave. I stood there for a few minutes and watched the last of the family get into the funeral cars, and I thought about what he had said. Yes, death was the great leveler, the great equalizer. But I didn't think that was what this simple man of deep faith was talking about at all. Instead, somehow I knew that he was talking about grace. And about God's love in Jesus, which reaches out to each and every one of us just the same. And suddenly I realized that he had probably never thought of himself as a gravedigger, but rather as something like a doorman opening the way for people to enter God's kingdom. As I turned to go, I could hear the steady rhythm of his shovel in the dirt. Thump, thump, thump. The gravedigger smiled again as I passed by, but he never missed a beat. I know I wasn't 25 feet away when I heard his voice again. A raspy and hoarse baritone, but something shone within him as he sang unashamed and in perfect rhythm with his shovel. "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain." I made my way to my car, and as I drove away, I rolled down the window so that I could still hear him, so that I could hear his final phrase, so that I could hear God's final truth. "So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
In those who are ill and suffering, and reach out in compassion to help your work to to restore them to health and wholeness.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of comfort, you stilled the storms of life and gave peace to your people. Help us to see the face of Christ in those who are fearful, those who are troubled, those afflicted with mental illness or addictions, those who are depressed or full of anxiety. And may we embody understanding and seek ways to offer peace and safety.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of warmth, you have eagerly sought us and have opened your arms to welcome us even when we have strayed far from you. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those in need of welcome in our world, even when we struggle to do so, and to open our arms to help them and help them embrace a new future.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of all-encompassing love, you love us so much that you sent your Son to live and die for us. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those who seem unlovable and to embrace them as we would embrace you.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of peace, you call us to live in peace not only internally with you, but also with each other and among nations. Help us to see the face of Christ in those with whom we struggle and disagree, and lead us to work together to the higher calling of mutual understanding and love.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of all people, you have made us, and you have made us yours. Help us to show the face of Christ to others, so that in all things we may reflect the light of the world in our lives.
Light of the world, send us out.
Adventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith in the midst of the storms and roads of life, in our pilgrimage, knowing only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray.
Save us from the time of trial.
your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.